The crystal merchant awoke with the day and felt the same anxiety that he felt every morning. He had been in the same place for 30 years, a shop at the top of a hilly street where few customers passed. Now it was too late to change anything. The only thing he had ever learned to do was to buy and sell crystal glassware. There had been a time when many people knew of his shop, Arab merchants, French and English geologists, German soldiers who were always well-heeled. In those days, it had been wonderful to be selling crystal, and he had thought how he would become rich and have beautiful women at his side as he grew older. But as time passed, Tangier had changed. The nearby city of Ceuta had grown faster than Tangier, and business had fallen off. Neighbours moved away, and there remained only a few small shops on the hill. And no one was going to climb the hill just to browse through a few small shops. But the crystal merchant had no choice. He had lived 30 years of his life buying and selling crystal pieces, and now it was too late to do anything else. He spent the entire morning observing the infrequent comings and goings in the street. He had done this for years and knew the schedule of everyone who passed. But just before lunchtime, a boy stopped in front of the shop. He was dressed normally, but the practiced eye of the crystal merchant could see that the boy had no money to spend. Nevertheless, the merchant decided to delay his lunch for a few minutes until the boy moved on. A card hanging in the doorway announced that several languages were spoken in the shop. The boy saw a man appear behind the counter. "I can clean up those glasses in the window if you want," said the boy. "The way they look now, no one's going to want to buy them." The man looked at him without responding. "In exchange, you could give me something to eat." The man still said nothing, and the boy sensed that he was going to have to make a decision. In his pouch, he had his jacket. He certainly wasn't going to need it in the desert. Taking the jacket out, he began to clean the glasses. In half an hour, he had cleaned all the glasses in the window, and as he was doing so, two customers had entered the shop and bought some crystal. When he had completed the cleaning, he asked the man for something to eat. "Let's go and have some lunch," said the crystal merchant. He put a sign on the door, and they went to a small cafe nearby. As they sat down at the only table in the place, the crystal merchant laughed. "You didn't have to do any cleaning," he said. "The Quran requires me to feed a hungry person."
"Well, then why did you let me do it?" the boy asked.
"Because the crystal was dirty, and both you and I needed to cleanse our minds of negative thoughts." When they had eaten, the merchant turned to the boy and said, "I'd like you to work in my shop. Two customers came in today while you were working, and that's a good omen."
"People talk a lot about omens," thought the shepherd, "but they really don't know what they're saying. Just as I hadn't realized that, for so many years I've been speaking a language without words to my sheep."
"Do you want to go to work for me?" the merchant asked.
"I can work for the rest of today," the boy answered. "I'll work all night until dawn, and I'll clean every piece of crystal in your shop. In return, I need money to get to Egypt tomorrow."
The merchant laughed. "Even if you clean my crystal for an entire year, even if you earned a good commission selling every piece, you would still have to borrow money to get to Egypt. There are thousands of kilometers of desert between here and there."
There was a moment of silence, so profound that it seemed the city was asleep. No sound from the bazaars, no arguments among the merchants, no men climbing to the towers to chant. No hope, no adventure, no old kings or personal legends, no treasure, and no pyramids. It was as if the world had fallen silent because the boy's soul had. He sat there, staring blankly through the door of the cafe, wishing that he had died, and that everything would end forever at that moment. The merchant looked anxiously at the boy. All the joy he had seen that morning had suddenly disappeared.
"I can give you the money you need to get back to your country, my son," said the crystal merchant.
The boy said nothing. He got up, adjusted his clothing, and picked up his pouch. I'll work for you, he said. And after another long silence, he added, I need money to buy some sheep. The boy had been working for the crystal merchant for almost a month, and he could see that it wasn't exactly the kind of job that would make him happy. The merchant spent the entire day mumbling behind the counter, telling the boy to be careful with the pieces and not to break anything. But he stayed with the job because the merchant, although he was an old grouch, treated him fairly. The boy received a good commission for each piece he sold and had already been able to put some money aside. That morning he had done some calculating. If he continued to work every day as he had been, he would need a whole year to be able to buy some sheep. I'd like to build a display case for the crystal, the boy said to the merchant. We could place it outside and attract those people who pass at the bottom of the hill.
Well, I've never had one before, the merchant answered. People will pass by and bump into it and pieces will be broken.
Well, when I took my sheep through the fields, some of them might have died if we had come upon a snake, but that's the way life is with sheep and with shepherds. The merchant turned to a customer who wanted 3 crystal glasses. He was selling better than ever, as if time had turned back to the old days when the street had been one of Tangier's major attractions.
Business has really improved, he said to the boy after the customer had left. I'm doing much better, and soon you'll be able to return to your sheep. Why ask more out of life?
Because we have to respond to omens, the boy said, almost without meaning to. Then he regretted what he had said, because the merchant had never met the king.
It's called the principle of favorability, beginner's luck. Because life wants you to achieve your personal legend, the old king had said.
But the merchant understood what the boy had said. The boy's very presence in the shop was an omen, and as time passed and money was pouring into the cash drawer, he had no regrets about having hired the boy. The boy was being paid more money than he deserved because the merchant, thinking that sales wouldn't amount to much, had offered the boy a high commission rate. He had assumed he would soon return to his sheep.
Why did you want to get to the pyramids, he asked, to get away from the business of the display?
Because I've always heard about them, the boy answered, saying nothing about his dream. The treasure was now nothing but a painful memory, and he tried to avoid thinking about it.
I don't know anyone here who would want to cross the desert just to see the pyramids, said the merchant. They're just a pile of stones. You could build one in your own backyard.
You've never had dreams of travel, said the boy, turning to wait on a customer who had entered the shop. 2 days later, the merchant spoke to the boy about the display.
I don't much like change, he said. You and I aren't like Hassan, that rich merchant. If he makes a buying mistake, it doesn't affect him much. But we two have to live with our mistakes.
That's true enough, the boy thought ruefully.
Why did you think we should have a display?
I want to get back to my sheep faster. We have to take advantage when luck is on our side and do as much to help it as it's doing to help us. It's called the principle of favorability or beginner's luck. The merchant was silent for a few moments. Then he said,
Well, the prophet gave us the Quran and left us just 5 obligations to satisfy during our lives. The most important is to believe only in the one true God. The others are to pray 5 times a day, fast during Ramadan, and be charitable to the poor.
He stopped there. His eyes filled with tears as he spoke of the prophet. He was a devout man, and even with all his impatience, he wanted to live his life in accordance with Muslim law. What's the 5th obligation? The boy asked.
2 days ago you said that I had never dreamed of travel, the merchant answered. The 5th obligation of every Muslim is a pilgrimage. We are obliged, at least once in our lives, to visit the holy city of Mecca. Mecca is a lot further away than the pyramids. When I was young, all I wanted to do was to put together enough money to start this shop. I thought that someday I'd be rich and could go to Mecca. I began to make some money, but I could never bring myself to leave someone in charge of the shop. The crystals are delicate things. At the same time, people were passing my shop all the time heading for Mecca. Some of them were rich pilgrims traveling in caravans with servants and camels, but most of the people making the pilgrimage were poorer than I. All who went there were happy at having done so. They place the symbols of the pilgrimage on the doors of their houses. One of them, a cobbler who made his living mending boots, said that he had travelled almost a year through the desert, but that he got more tired when he had to walk through the streets of Tangier buying his leather.
Well, why don't you go to Mecca now? Asked the boy.
Because it's the thought of Mecca that keeps me alive. That's what helps me face these days that are all the same, these mute crystals on the shelves and lunch and dinner at that same horrible cafe. I'm afraid that if my dream is realized, I'll have no reason to go on living. You dream about your sheep and the pyramids, but you're different from me because you want to realize your dreams. I just want to dream about Mecca. I've already imagined 1,000 times crossing the desert, arriving at the plaza of the sacred stone, the 7 times I walk around it before allowing myself to touch it. I've already imagined the people who would be at my side, and those in front of me, and the conversations and prayers we would share. But I'm afraid that it would all be a disappointment. So I prefer just to dream about it.
That day, the merchant gave the boy permission to build the display. Not everyone can see his dreams come true in the same way. 2 more months passed, and the shelf brought many customers into the crystal shop. The boy estimated that if he worked for 6 more months, he could return to Spain and buy 60 sheep, and yet another 60. In less than a year, he would have doubled his flock, and he would be able to do business with the Arabs because he was now able to speak their strange language. Since that morning in the marketplace, he had never again made use of Urim and Thummim, because Egypt was now just as distant a dream for him as was Mecca for the merchant. Anyway, the boy had become happy in his work, and thought all the time about the day when he would disembark at Tarifa as a winner.
"You must always know what it is that you want," the old king had said.
The boy knew, and was now working toward it. Maybe it was his treasure to have wound up in that strange land, met up with a thief, and doubled the size of his flock without spending a cent. He was proud of himself. He'd learned some important things, like how to deal in crystal, and about the language without words, and about omens. One afternoon, he'd seen a man at the top of the hill complaining that it was impossible to find a decent place to get something to drink after such a climb. The boy, accustomed to recognizing omens, spoke to the merchant. "Let's sell tea to the people who climb the hill."
"No, lots of places sell tea around here," the merchant said.
"But we could sell tea in crystal glasses. The people will enjoy the tea and want to buy the glasses. I've been told that beauty is the great seducer of men."
The merchant didn't respond, but that afternoon, after saying his prayers and closing the shop, he invited the boy to sit with him and share his hookah, that strange pipe used by the Arabs. "What is it that you're looking for?" asked the old merchant.
"I've already told you. I need to buy my sheep back, so I have to earn the money to do so."
The merchant put some new coals in the hookah and inhaled deeply. "I've had this shop for 30 years. I know good crystal from bad, and everything else there is to know about crystal. I know its dimensions and how it behaves. If we sell tea in crystal, the shop is going to expand, and then I'll have to change my way of life."
"Well, isn't that good?"
"I'm already used to the way things are. Before you came, I was thinking about how much time I'd wasted in the same place while my friends had moved on and either went bankrupt or did better than they had before. It made me very depressed. Now I can see that it hasn't been too bad. The shop is exactly the size I always wanted it to be. You know, I don't want to change anything because I don't know how to deal with change. You see, I'm used to the way I am."
The boy didn't know what to say.
The old man continued, "You've been a real blessing to me. Today I understand something I didn't see before. Every blessing ignored becomes a curse. I don't want anything else in life. But you are forcing me to look at wealth and at horizons I've never known. Now that I've seen them and now that I see how immense my possibilities are, I'm going to feel worse than I did before you arrived. Because I know the things I should be able to accomplish, and I don't want to do so.
It's good I refrain from saying anything to the baker in Tarifa, thought the boy to himself. They went on smoking the pipe for a while as the sun began to set. They were conversing in Arabic, and the boy was proud of himself for being able to do so. There had been a time when he thought that his sheep could teach him everything he needed to know about the world, but they could never have taught him Arabic. There are probably other things in the world that sheep can't teach me, thought the boy as he regarded the old merchant. All they ever do really is look for food and water, and maybe it wasn't that they were teaching me, but that I was learning from them.
Maktub, the merchant said finally.
What does that mean?
You would have to have been born an Arab to understand, he answered. But in your language it would be something like, it is written. And as he smothered the coals in the hookah, he told the boy that he could begin to sell tea in the crystal glasses. Sometimes there's just no way to hold back the river.